off the ball. GAA.
2 years of hurt, it's a genuine thing, like, Joe. They were a long 2 years. Yeah, it's hard to put into words, really, but I suppose when we came back at the start of this year, it just felt like there was something different, Joe.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Football Daily on Off the Ball with Lynx, a proud sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026.
Welcome to Friday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up today, we look ahead to our live commentary game in the League of Ireland between St. Pat's and Dundalk. It was a night of mixed fortunes in Europe, with Shelburne winning but Derry City were beaten. Jurgen Klopp is officially back in football after being confirmed as Germany's new manager. But first, Shelburne are in the driving seat to play Ajax in the third qualifying round of the Conference League. Shells beat Estonian side Nama Kalju 5-2 in the first leg at Tolga Park last night in their second qualifying round tie. Sean Moore scored twice, Rodrigo Freitas, Ali Coote and substitute Dan Ring got the other goals in John Russell's first home game in charge. It's the first time they've scored five goals in a European tie. Shells will be in Tallinn next week, and if they advance, they're likely to play Ajax, who won 4-1 away to Vojvodina of Serbia. John Russell says it was a great way to mark his first home game.
First home game, special feeling, the crowd, the energy, the performance from the group. You know, you do your work during the week, but you're judged on a match night, and the European nights are special for players, for staff. And tonight, you know, it'll be one that will stay with me.
Derry City are still very much in the tie with Rijeka. Tiernan Lynch's side are beaten 1-0 away to the Croatian side. Croatian international Tony Fruk, who scored against Shells last season, got the only goal of the game early in the second half. Michael Duffy went close for Derry. The second legs of those ties take place next Thursday. And on the LOI pod this week, Stephen Doyle was joined by Vinnie Perth and Keith Tracy. And the former St. Pat's man, Tracy, described the differences of playing in Europe and playing domestically.
Keith, as a player, like you did play in European ties with Pats. How did you find it as a player when you were kind of the difference between going from league football to those European nights?
That's chalk and cheese. To be honest with you, Steve, I was in a fairly dark place. I think people know this. Anybody who knows my story will know. At Pats, I wasn't in a great place. But when Europe came rolling around, I mean, probably 6 weeks out, people start talking about Europe, and, you know, the media start getting more and more involved. At Pats, we were training out in the Alsa at the time, and you'd come in to train and the media would be there. They'd want the interviews, and you'd start getting little snippets of the team you're playing against, and, you know, the itinerary starts filtering through of when you're flying and this, that and the other. And it just, that big game feel just comes, and you're training in the build up to it, and everybody's bang on it, and you think, okay, this has a proper feel about it all of a sudden. And I remember we went to we played Minsk away, and we came out. I did, to be honest with you, I didn't know an awful lot about Minsk at the time. We went over there and we trained on the pitch, and it was this lovely stadium, like a bowl feel, very intimidating. And I could see a couple of lads going into themselves and thinking, oh, well, this is like a 40,000 seater stadium. They must be better than us, you know. And people are saying they expect Minsk to beat us. And before we went down, before the game, we warmed up and we were standing in the tunnel. And I looked around and I just felt a couple of people were starting to go into their shells. And I thought, lads, this is 11v11. This isn't Real Madrid. This is FC Minsk. Let's go and have a pop off them. And like Vinny says, we actually did really, really well. We ended up drawing 1-1 the away leg, and I think Minsk beat us 1-0 in Inchicore to eventually win the tie. But like Vinny says, I felt Pats were not on the front foot. We didn't have an awful lot of the ball, but when we won it, we tried to hurt them, and that was the main thing. And I thought we kept the tempo really high. And yeah, I think a lot of the Irish clubs, when Europe rolls around, or is, you know, a month, 6 weeks, 8 weeks out, the eye just starts to go to it because it has that real big, big game feel.
As always, you can listen back to that in full in your OTB football podcast feed for free. Only the one game in the Premier Division tonight. Stephen Kenny goes up against the side he won four league titles with. It's St. Pat's against Dundalk at Richmond Park. The former Ireland boss is still hoping his side can challenge Shamrock Rovers for the title, and Pats can make up ground while the rest play European games. The Saints can go second if they draw, but a win would close the gap in Rovers down to 5 points with the same games played. Dundalk beat St. Mochta's in the FAI Cup last week, but have lost their last three games in a row in the league and are in fourth place. Kieran Culduff no longer has Owen Kenny, the son of Stephen, or Jabemia Ruby And on the LOI pod, Keith Tracy added that he's been impressed by the work of Kieran Kilduff this season.
Well, I think Kieran Kilduff, you know, he just needs to keep telling the players they're 14 points clear of ninth place.
Yeah.
That was the remit at the start of the season, stay in the league. And I know they've been up and flirting with Europe, and, you know, us in the media are going to say, can they get into Europe? Because we'll always expect that next step or want that next step. But staying in the league is the remit. And the way they've done it, Stephen, has been absolutely sensational. Vinny said it, on the front foot. They get after teams. They press them with so much intensity that they harass mistakes out of the opposition. And I've really enjoyed it. Daryl Horgan, how much has he got left at the start of the season was the question for me. Got buckets left, absolute buckets. The way he moves and manipulates the ball, his delivery from set pieces and from open play has been sensational. And even Tyreek Wilson chipping in with four goals. I've liked an awful lot of Dundalk, and whenever I'm handed a Dundalk game, I'm delighted. Because like Vinny says, I do love to watch them play. Having said that, I actually fancy St. Pat's. I think they will beat Dundalk. There's so much I like about St. Pat's. Defensively, so strong. The best defence in the league. Only conceded the 20 goals in 24 games. At the top end of the park, I'm willing to say that they're very, very close to being one of the best teams, with Keen Levy as a different player since he got his Ireland cap. Aidan Keane, we all know how prolific he can be when he's on it. And Edmondson has scored 9 goals already this season. So he's chipped in with his fair amount. With the defence, Redmond, Brown, Hoare, Turner, very, very solid. The 6 defeats that Pats have had this season, though, Steele, they lost to Shamrock Rovers 2-0. Didn't get on the score sheet. Lost it on Dundalk 2-0. Didn't get on the score sheet. Lost to Shamrock Rovers again. Failed to get on the score sheet. The same with Shelbourne. The same with Rovers again. And the same with Bowes. So those 6 games that they've lost, they haven't managed to get on the score sheet at all. And when you think they've scored 39 goals this season in the top flight, they're only one off Shamrock Rovers and Bowes, who have the best attack. If they chip in those big, big games where you rely on your players to score goals, you rely on the ones, your Ramal Parmas, your Aidan Keane, as the Keane Levy's of this world, if they're not turning up in the big games, you're never going to get anywhere close to Shamrock Rovers. And I say all that and it sounds a little bit negative, and I always finish with St. Pat's have been brilliant. I'm really enjoying them. I think they're getting closer. I think they're bridging the gap. But do I think they're going to go anywhere near of north of Shamrock Rovers? No. I think they'll be the best of the rest.
We have live commentary of that game at Richmond Park with Stephen Doyle and Richie Taylor on the commentary box. Coverage starts at 7 on Off the Ball and News Talk and the Go Loud app. And the kickoff time in Inchicore is 8 o'clock. Sligo Rovers have appointed Darren Purse as their new manager. The former Birmingham City defender has been coaching with Cardiff, where he spent almost 5 years working with the club's under-23s and 21 sides. Purse scored in the 2001 League Cup final against Liverpool, and he replaces John Russell, who's obviously gone to Shelbourne. Sligo are bottom of the Premier Division after 24 games. They play Drogheda United in Sligo tomorrow night.
On this show, as entrepreneurs, we often talk about the courage it takes to start something from scratch. Every successful brand begins with a vision, a purpose, and someone willing to take a chance on an idea. And while every founder's journey is different, many share the same determination to overcome obstacles, innovate, and build something meaningful from the ground up. That's why I always enjoy hearing founder stories, because behind every product is a real person who has invested time, energy, and passion into building something meaningful. Walmart is helping customers discover products from thousands of small brands while giving founders opportunities to grow, reach new communities, and share the stories behind their businesses. By making it easier to discover these brands, Walmart helps connect customers with innovative products and the entrepreneurs whose passion, resilience, and creativity help bring them to market. So whether you're an entrepreneur yourself or a dream driver looking to be inspired, it's exciting to see more opportunities for small brands to be discovered. Visit Walmart.com to learn more about the small brands and founder stories available in your community.
And Football Daily and Off the Ball is brought to you by Lynx, a proud sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026. Smell your best when you look your worst. On the news round last night, Will O'Callaghan was joined by Eve Conway and Ben Symes. And after Bohemians' heroics in Europe the previous night, Ben, who was at the game, described a perfect night for the Bows fans at their last European game at Dalymount Park before the redevelopment.
I was chatting to Stephen Doyle earlier, who is our own resident Bulls fan. Who
the man has also put his voice on the soundtrack of that Tierney goal.
He has. So I was joking, saying his name's in the history books as well as Ross Tierney. But he was saying you could not have scripted that if you were to be a Bulls fan, that you would come from behind, 90th minute winner, and it's a fella who came through Bohemians Football Club, a Ballymun man who came to the club that scored the winner. And what a winner it was, like, unbelievable. And as you said, I think, like, how much of a difference does commentary make to goals that you see? Because I saw that, I was in the stadium and watched that, and I thought, oh God, yeah, that's good. And then I watched it back, and Steve's commentary, I was like, oh, it could be even better than I thought it was.
It enhanced it, let's be honest. If the commentary is good and the commentary is excited, it makes the goal probably 10% better.
It was, and I mean, I was here in the office last night as the game was going on, and you know, you have streams, you're a little bit behind or whatever, and I could just hear some Bose fans in the office like just jump up and down with excitement when that goal went in. And then over the next 2 hours subsequently, I heard it 7 or 8 times again and again, rewatching it, as you said, with the commentary. Just it sort of builds onto this lovely narrative that developed last night. I think the way, although in an ideal world, probably Bose wouldn't have wanted to concede early on, but the magic of a last-minute winner after having been behind, maybe against the run of play, it all added up to quite a magical evening for Bose.
It did. We were chatting to Shane Coleman just to come off the hard shoulder as we were about to come into studio before the show, and he said the one thing we shouldn't be doing is sleeping on the first goal, which is a pretty good goal too.
Pep Guardiola has turned down the chance to become the next Italy manager. Sky in Italy are reporting the former Manchester City boss told the Italian Football Federation it was down to personal reasons that go beyond football. The Federation's technical director, Paolo Maldini, revealed this week their first approach was for Brazil boss Carlo Ancelotti before they spoke to Guardiola. One former Premier League winning manager back in the game is Jurgen Klopp. He was confirmed as Germany's new manager today. The former Liverpool manager replaces Julian Nagelsmann, who left after they were beaten by Paraguay in the last 32 at this summer's World Cup. Klopp has agreed a deal until the World Cup in 2030 and has stepped down as Red Bull's global head of football. And Crystal Palace defender Maxence Lacroix is set to join Chelsea on a long-term deal after the clubs reached an agreement for the player. Chelsea will have to pay an initial fee in the region of £52 million for the France international, who came off the bench to replace William Saliba in the World Cup semi-final loss to Spain. That's about all we have time for in today's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan, and we'll be back with more next week.
Football Daily on Off the Ball with Lynx, a proud sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.